Episode number 319, Experience Conference 2021, Part 2 with Will Doggett and Jason Brooks. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey guys, this week's show is brought to you by churchvoiceover.com. If you are looking for voice talent for your next video project, the team at Church Voiceover is where to go. My friend Joe Szymanski leads a talented group of men, women, and children that you can choose from for your next project. We trust them. They are our go-to for voiceover talent. Churchvoiceover.com is the website, churchvoiceover.com. I'll actually have Joe on the podcast next week to talk about some tips and tricks when it comes to voiceover for your video projects. So again, check them out, churchvoiceover.com. Well, I've been doing a lot of traveling this fall with more to come, so if I look like a zombie on the podcast, you'll know why. I was just in Dallas for the Church Facilities Expo. I did a talk there on how to enhance your hybrid worship experience, some tips on the physical environment and tips for church online, how to enhance your experience and take it to the next level. And I always love meeting you guys at these conferences, hearing what God is doing in and through your church. It's a boost for me. Traveling is, you know, this can be weary. It can be tiring, but what boosts me, what gives me energy is talking and hanging out with you guys. So I appreciate the folks that I met there at CFX. So thanks for coming to me, hanging out, talking with me. I appreciate it. I hope to see you at CFX next year if you weren't there this year. Great time of hanging out and meeting you. So thank you for that. On today's episode of the show, we will be sharing two more interviews that we did at Experience Conference in Orlando just a few weeks ago. I'll be talking with worship leader Jason Brooks. Jason and I talked about how to raise up leaders in your worship choir and in your worship ministry. And I also chatted with Ableton master Will Doggett. Will and I took a deep dive, rather, into Ableton and how to use multi-tracks during your worship experience and more. Both of those interviews from Experience Conference are on the way right after this. Hey guys, when it comes to producing media, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And while it's convenient to have a friend or someone from down the hall do your voiceover, so often the final result falls flat because, let's face it, most people just aren't experienced in acting natural in front of a microphone. So here's a tip. Next time you need a quick VO, check out my friends at churchvoiceover.com, a new site with a selection of talented professional voiceover artists at ministry-friendly prices. Log on and see just how easy it is to pick your voice and get started. Mission-minded men, women, and even kids who are ready to team with you and create media that makes an impact. Check them out at churchvoiceover.com. That's churchvoiceover.com. Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Jason Brooks. Jason, you're the worship leader, worship pastor at North Oxford Baptist Church in Oxford, Mississippi.
That's right.
I get all that right?
That's right. It's a mouthful.
Awesome,
yes.
Man. Cool. All right. So you're doing a workshop this week, one of two, on raising up leaders in your choir ministry, right? So give me a couple of points on what you're going to be talking about.
Sure, and you know, even though our workshop is dealing with worship choir specifically, there's a lot of these leadership principles that carry over and bleed over into any volunteer team, you know. And one of the main points I'm trying to drive home to our people who come to my workshop this week is just the importance of empowering others to lead. You know, we hear those cliches all the time about leadership, about, you know, leaders empower other leaders and raise up other leaders, you know, or you always want to be training, you know, your replacement or so, you know, those funny
working yourself
out of a job. Exactly.
Yep.
And there's nuggets of truth to that. You know, there's biblical precedent. You know, we see Jesus as he, you know, surrounded himself with the disciples and yep. empowered and talked about servant leadership and said himself, you know, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And so you've got that model that Jesus gives us of how important it is for our people to serve or as a disciple of Christ to serve and to follow that example. And yep. and as we empower our people, it has great benefit for us as pastors, as ministers, as worship leaders, whatever the case might be in your setting, for a lot of reasons. One, to avoid burnout. You know, burnout, you hear it all the time in church world of how easy it is to experience ministry burnout. And it's so true.
With staff members and volunteers?
Absolutely. It's both sides of the coin. You know, the more people that we can empower to lead around us, the less likely it is for us to burn out. You know, one of the resources I'm using is a great quote. It says, "Don't be the guy or gal who tries to do everything." And that is so true. And empowering others to lead is going to benefit your ministry because it gives ownership to the people. It is getting more buy-in for them within that ministry. In my workshop's case, the choir ministry, and you're creating more supporters for that ministry, more cheerleaders, if you will, for that ministry, and you're sharing that leadership with the people around you so that you don't have to shoulder all that on your own.
So let me share a concept with you and see what you think about it. So do you think that it should be leaders don't really do anything? They're not doers, okay?
Right.
But they are leader of leaders that do.
Exactly. Well,
that are overdoers.
Right.
Did I get that right?
I'm tracking with you. You know, the great thing about empowering the leaders around you is that it makes you a better leader because it gives you more energy, more time to devote to specific focuses rather than trying to paint your brush over a wide, like I've got to do X, Y, and Z in this, and I've got no time to be excellent in any of them. I'm being good in all these areas, but as you empower leaders and put leadership into place within your ministry who can handle some of these other details, it allows you as the pastor, as the minister, as a director, to sharpen your focus on different aspects of ministry and to be more excellent, to do those things with more excellence and more of that focus. And so creating leaders around you and raising them up around you is going to make you a better leader as well.
So give me some next steps. I can do this week. I think what I'm getting at first is a lot of churches right now that I'm hearing are struggling with, I can't recruit. I'm having a hard time finding even people to come to my ministry,
right,
let alone take on more responsibility of being
right.
a leader.
Right.
Well, how would you respond to that?
I would say identify, first pray, for seek the Lord's direction, and ask for a sensitivity to what are the most pressing things around me that I could really plug in people to prioritize. Take small chunks of that and say, okay, for this season, and a season might be, you know, this month, it might be this semester, whatever it is, you focus on raising up one or two leaders in that area that you can bring alongside and start. But I think the key is to pray and then start and not see the whole big picture in mind. Not worry about, I've got all these needs around me, I've got all these positions I want to fill. Start small and plug people in, because we're having to re-energize people, like you said. We're having to rekindle the habit of serving and the habit of gathering as the body in ministry. And so this is an opportunity. I just shared this with our workshop. This season, as challenging as it's been, has given us an opportunity to kind of hit the reset button and the refocus button and to see what the main priorities that we need are in the ministry. And then to go into re-energize the people to serve and to introduce them to reintroduce them to the calling that we have as disciples to serve and to be servant leaders.
So last topic for you is, as you have done this in your ministry at your church, what are some of the benefits that you've seen from raising up a leader, raising up a group of leaders,
sure.
so that I don't have to do everything.
Right. And I think the benefit is it's kept me fresher. It's allowed me to be more focused in my ministry. And because I've been there, I don't want to come across like this is I'm the guru with this, because like everybody else, there's times when I've tried to shoulder it all and I've tried to take it all on and be the Lone Ranger and to try to single-handedly push something forward. But as I see people plugging in with their giftedness and serving as Christ has called us to serve with that humility, and to see the benefit of how it's refreshed me and allowed me to be a better minister, because I've got people that I trust, you know, and people that that the Lord has given a passion to and called to serve. Seeing them live out that calling as leaders has benefited the ministries that I oversee greatly.
Yeah. Do you find, I've experienced this, maybe you the same, is that when I give it away, now I somehow my plate fills right back up.
Yeah, it's
with
easy.
Other things.
Exactly.
So now, okay, can I give this away? So there's always this, like, you know, it fills back up. Do you sense that too?
Oh, where absolutely.
Like even though I've had success in this before, I always maybe come to a place of I'm filling back up again. I need
exactly.
to.
I mean, we're at Disney. They got great food. You go buffet. You clear that plate. It's like, oh, I need some more. And you want to put that right back on. It's so easy. And personally, I have a hard time saying no to that. You know,
right.
But the Lord, I think,
especially because it's your passion.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
What you love serving the Lord. You love
absolutely.
Serving the ministry. Yeah, I'll help.
Yeah,
I'm there.
Sure. Yes,
but
yes.
It fills up.
I feel like the Lord, though, has in the last. Couple of years has taught me the value and the permission that it's okay to say no. Because when we say no and we establish those boundaries, it protects us, it protects our family, and it protects our, and I keep going back to that term, that freshness. You know, if we've got nothing left at the end of the rope, our ministry is going to suffer. And so we have to allow ourselves and remind ourselves that it's okay to say no, and that we need to be more careful. This is what the Lord's teaching me, is to be more selective with the things I say yes to. And it makes all the difference in the world. And that's hard, you know, because like you said, it's in the ministry mindset. I'm called to serve. I'm called to do this. And so I'm supposed to say yes.
Yep.
I'm supposed to say yes to everything that's coming down the pike. But that's not what we see. You know, we regularly see Jesus in the scriptures departing, pulling away, getting alone, going to that that place of rest, a refuge of prayer. And it's the same. It's the same thing. You know, it is okay for us to say no in ministry. So, yeah.
That's good, man. That's good stuff. Well, thanks so much for hanging out. And you're headed to the Disney buffet, right?
That's right. Yeah, very soon. Very
right.
soon. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys. I was recently in Dallas, Texas at the Church Facilities Expo. And I wanted to take the opportunity to tell you about some awesome things that we got to do to serve this conference. We've produced graphics and videos for dozens of conferences over the years, and in our church space, if you've attended a conference, whether that be in person or online, there's a good chance that our team produced the graphics and video for that conference. For CFX, we produced their promo video, their speaker intros, graphics, and more. Here's a word from my friend Stephanie Lippe at CFX. Check this out.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Lippe. I'm the conference manager for CFX, the Church Facilities Conference and Expo. We just became a show in January of 2020, and we're still a fairly small team. So in order to prepare for our show, we needed some help, and that's where we reached out to 1230 Media. They were able to create some amazing videos for our keynote sessions to be able to just kind of get everybody excited and pumped up and ready to go. The professional quality of them is superb. Working with them was just great. I had a few questions going into it, and they answered my questions really well. Communication was just really good working with them, and I just was very, very pleased with the product. Again, Church Facilities Conference and Expo, we hope to see you at some point in the future. We have something for leadership and management, facilities and operations, and production technology in your church. So come check us out. And don't forget to make sure the next time you need support with your media and videos, check out 1230 Media. Thanks.
It was very generous of Stephanie to send that in. We had a great time producing content for CFX. And we just had a great time meeting you guys there at the conference. This is their first year at CFX, and it went incredible. The team there, Stephanie and Ron and others on that team, did an amazing job putting that conference on. So I just want to give them props and kudos for a great event. And we would love to do the same for your conference or event, so we can create any custom design or video need that you might have, whether that be an opener video, promo videos, hype videos, speaker intros, lower thirds, social media graphics, all that kind of stuff. Our team is willing and ready to help you if you needed that. You can tell us about your project right away at 1230.media/custom. That's 1230.media/custom. Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Will Doggett. Will, you're the founder of From Studio to Stage.
That's right.
You were on staff at Multitracks. Mm-hmm. So kind of give me that journey a little bit. You went from Multitracks and then started your own thing. I know we've done a podcast before, so people could go back and listen. But
yeah, that's right.
Give me a quick overview.
Yeah, so I was at Multitracks for about 5 years. And I started as the director of training and development and transitioned into the director of products. And so I was over playback, chart builder, rehearsal mix. And that was a lot of fun. I led a team of designers and developers and had to learn weird terminology like push and pull and GitHub and whatever those things meant. And but had a lot of fun, you know, helping to shape apps that shape worship experiences for churches across the globe, which was really fun. But I realized I was getting away from the passion that I had, and I think the purpose that God's going to put in my life, which is teaching and training, and in particular, just teaching and training how to use Ableton Live, which is a recording program, a DAW, digital audio workstation, for churches, for playback, for running tracks. And so I left Multitracks about 3 years ago, or actually 3 years ago this month, and started From Studio to Stage. And so I've been doing that for 3 years, which it's just me, but it's all a focus on teaching folks how to use Ableton Live in a live performance situation. And so, the goal is to help people learn to run tracks like a pro, but without the stress, without the frustration, without all the hours and hours worth of effort that it sometimes feels like that might take, which it doesn't have to.
So let's start there. Why should a church consider using tracks in worship?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I taught a class yesterday here at Experience Conference. We talked through that. And I think there's a lot of different reasons. I think one, it's to, and I should maybe even start with this premise. I have this bias towards the idea of Ableton Live as an instrument. It's not a computer. It's not a thing you just do. It's an instrument. And so in the same way that as a guitar player, you know, you've got to learn your part. You've got to make sure your guitar is in tune. You've taken care of it. It takes a little bit of work to get up to speed. That's the way I view Ableton Live. So Ableton Live is an instrument. It's adding sounds to what's already existing and happening on stage. And I think where some people struggle, and this came up in the class yesterday, is some people view it as, if I'm going to use tracks, they're taking my job. They're taking my place. You know, a drummer might go, we don't need to use tracks because I'm a great drummer. I don't need to play to click because I'm a great drummer. But using tracks, it's going to add these extra sounds, not for the sake of being full. I think that's okay. A mistake a lot of times we make, because I've heard a lot of bands that sound really full, but they don't sound good. But it's to add a sense of excellence, to add kind of this extra layer of sounds
Would it be, one reason be maybe you were adding an instrument that you might not have to volunteer for?
Yes, like that? That's right. So that's, there's this layer of adding sounds that I say you can't really reproduce live. So that's one element of it. There's an element of really filling in for missing musicians.
Right.
So the joke I tell for the past 10 years of teaching at worship conferences is it's Saturday night, your bass player calls out sick because it's always the bass player. And you have the choice of telling the eight other people that are scheduled, hey, we're actually not going to do full band this Sunday. Or you just unmute the bass part. You plug a cable from the audio interface directly into the bass player's direct box on stage. And you have the best sounding bass you've ever heard. You know, now don't tell the bass player because we want them to come back. But that's a valid reason as well, too. And the other thing we talked about yesterday, and I wish I had more time in the class to unpack this, is while initially it may feel restrictive, playing to click for a drummer, it feels like no one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me what tempo to play. It's actually quite freeing because as worship leaders, we don't make it easy on drummers to say, let's do this song at 140 BPM. And then immediately I want you to cymbal swell and count us off at 70 BPM. And the mental effort, the cognitive load that takes to cymbal swell and be thinking, oh, to get to the other.
Yeah.
That's right. And so it's freeing as a musician, as a drummer, to have that confidence. A friend of mine calls it, he says, click, don't lie. And so it's the idea of that is the gospel truth that we can all point to of 70 BPM. This is 70. Mm-hmm. So we're all locking into that. And it helps with transitions, helps improve transitions so that you get from, and I think we've all heard this where you get to an end of a song and you've got a keyboard player playing a pad part. And, you know, it's terrible to have that pad part going and suddenly have the drummer go, tsh, you know, to count off. So just let the pad go, let the vocalist come in. And so the freedom thing really is a big piece of that. That's a big, big benefit to churches. And that's an opportunity. I had to remind them in the class yesterday, I said, stop me when I get on the soapbox. But one of the soapboxes I often get on is particularly transitioning to click to in-ears is an opportunity to pastor your people, to go beyond being a worship leader to being a worship pastor. Because you'll get pushback. You'll get a drummer that says, real drummers don't play to click. And that always comes from a place of insecurity. Mm-hmm. And that's an opportunity to sit down and pastor that musician towards playing to a click. Because that's something that you maybe can't do right now. But my job as a worship leader is to pastor you and disciple you to the point where you feel comfortable to do that, to provide you tools and resources to get you to the point where you feel comfortable doing that, which is going to disciple you and make you a better musician. And I think in turn, it's going to shape your faith too, because it's taking eyes off you and your insecurities and trying to adapt everyone to your insecurities, and you're really serving the band and the song in the moment.
So what would you say, kind of coming off of that, what would you say to the freedom aspect of, well, I can't necessarily turn another chorus if I want to. I can't, if I'm on a click, I'm tied to that, locked in. I can't go where the Holy Spirit is moving me to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the church world, when I talk about this, that's one unique thing I have from Studio Stage is I'm both in the worship world and in the mainstream world talking with people. And that's an argument that, or pushback that you definitely get in worship circles a lot. And I think one thing for people to understand is the click is giving you a constant as far as tempo goes. But the click is not defining the structure of your song. So you have the click and it's going to be 70 BPM. If Phil Wickham records a song at 70 BPM, it's meant to be played at 70 BPM. It's not meant to be played at 70, 68, 70, you know, like it's not meant to do this. So the click is going to provide you that constant. Mm-hmm. When it comes to adding tracks in, that's where people go, well, we can't use tracks. Maybe we'll use click. We can't use tracks because we can't repeat. We can't jump around. But that's one of the unique things of using Ableton Live for tracks, even using an app like Playback or Prime from Loop Community, is that you you have the ability to, if you want to repeat a chorus, you can repeat a chorus. A lot of times worship leaders think, we're on rails and then we get to the end and that's where we have
right.
flow moment is kind of the new thing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. That's possible to do, but it's also possible to be, I've been in a lot of worship leading environments. My buddy Charles is leading worship this morning and I traveled with Charles for 3 years doing, playing guitar and doing tracks. And the last time we led worship together was at a church out in California and we were in rehearsal and he said, hey, when we do this live, let's do the bridge again. And I said, okay, go for it. And he kind of looked at me like, what do you mean go for it? And I'm like, do it, I'll repeat it now. And so I just hit one button on my foot controller and we repeated the bridge. And it was as if, you know, David Copperfield was there doing a magic trick kind of thing. And, but that stuff is incredibly, incredibly simple to do now. So to the freedom thing, I always just want to let worship leaders know that we can always get into theological debates of you know, is the Holy Spirit leading you to do this? Is your lack of preparation leading you to do this? And that's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother day.
Yes.
But it's possible to do for sure.
All right. So let's get into more Ableton stuff. So tell me how a church, why a church should use Ableton and kind of some of the basics.
Yeah. So I think, you know, one, we talked about why you should use Tracks. I think why you should use Ableton is it's a tool that was originally created for live performance. So originally created for DJs to perform on stage with pre-recorded content. So you think about that and think, oh, as a worship leader, that's what I'm doing. I'm performing on stage. I know some people are hesitant towards the term performance in worship environment, but I'm on stage playing back pre-recorded content, tracks, click track. And what Ableton Live allows us to do as it pertains to live performance is it gives us that ability to repeat, to flow, to jump around, which is super powerful. But on top of that, there's all these other benefits. So we use Ableton Live for tracks, which we talked about. As a keys player, I can use Ableton Live to host all my key sounds, my virtual key sounds, virtual synth sounds. If your church does a podcast, you can use Ableton Live. I just wrote an article for Sweetwater about how to record, edit, produce your church's podcast in Ableton Live. And there's some unique things about Ableton Live that make it a great resource for that, tool for that. So you can record demo songs, you can record full albums. I did 3 albums when I lived here in Fort Lauderdale with the church I was at that we tracked completely in Ableton. And you can mix all that stuff. So there's all these additional things on top of just using it for tracks, which is great. And one of the things that Ableton as a company really puts as a priority is creativity and reducing the friction that artists feel when they sit down to record, when they sit down to produce. So what I commonly give as an example is you go to create an audio track. And in a lot of other recording programs, you go to a menu, you choose what type of track, how many channels, the inputs, the outputs. You go through all these steps in Ableton, Command-T, and I have an audio track. That's it. Like, it's super quick, so it's super easy to capture ideas. And then finally, I think, particularly for the worship space, using Ableton Live allows you to create a connected stage experience. And so what's powerful about that is, particularly, you know, if you're a worship leader that's at a small church, it's just you. You know, I was out in the hallway hanging with my buddy Doug, and he was telling me they use Ableton Live for their front of house audio, their broadcast audio mix. They control lights, lyrics, video, and they do all that not with the goal of creating like a big massive production, but a goal of creating a production that's felt, not seen. With the goal of creating a production that a solo individual, as a worship leader, she can stand on stage and press play, press spacebar on Ableton, and know that the lyrics are going to be just right.
Right.
And you repeat that chorus, guess what's going to happen? Those lyrics are going to follow. Your lighting cues are going to be nailed. You go to press play on a video and it dims your house lights. And again, it gets back to that freedom thing. And it adds in a level of simplicity, even as you add more production elements, which is great. So.
Right. I think you're hitting on something there, that it's easier to connect all the worlds together.
Yeah.
How would that relate to a volunteer? Mm-hmm. Meaning, is Ableton being so connected that I can, you know, hit this and everything works together in tandem?
Yeah.
Does that help me train volunteers easily?
Yeah, there's two ways to look at it. One, I often get the question of like, but what about my volunteer? Are you automating away my volunteers?
Right.
And in a way, that could be possible. I mean, if that's your desire and dream, you could create an entire production as a solo worship leader and have no one involved whatsoever. When it comes to the lyric side, the Pro Presenter side, Easy Worship side, whatever you're using, you still need sermon slides. So you're still going to need someone to create and or trigger those. But as far as training a volunteer, it's an incredible, incredibly useful and helpful tool. Even I'll give you one example in particular. And anyone with a digital sound board can do this. One of the best ways to train audio engineers, volunteer audio engineers, is to record your band's performance on, let's say, Thursday. You're rehearsing. So you record the band, and then Thursday night, Friday, have an audio engineer come in, and you can take Ableton Live and you can press play on it. And typically with a digital console, X32, M32, Persona Studio Live, you get a USB cable, plug it into your computer, and typically you can pass 32 channels of audio into the sound console, turn on your speakers at front of house, and to the person standing behind the soundboard, they're going to essentially experience what they would experience on a Sunday running sound, but they're going to get that back to them in a low pressure environment, and an environment where you can press pause and go, all right, let's go back. You hear that low tom hit? I'm not feeling it. All right, so let's go back, let's solo the low tom, and let's talk about EQ and compression and things we can do to bring that more forward. So I think, again, you could set it up in an environment where, you know, no volunteers are needed whatsoever, but you can also use it as a tool to equip and train your volunteers. And you can use it as a tool where, this potentially may ruffle some feathers, but, you know, we can take a volunteer that their entire purpose on Sunday is pressing space bar, and let's move them to something that I think most of us would probably argue could be a little more valuable and a better use of their talents and their skills and their abilities.
So we create a lot of lyric videos for artists and ministries, and Ableton really does allow the drummer to hit a cue, and it triggers ProPresenter or things like that. So it really allows the lyric, if the lyrics are burned into the video and not a ProPresenter situation, it everything syncs up perfectly.
Yeah.
Give me some scenarios like that that Ableton would really be a benefit.
I think that's a great one. You drop a video into arrangement view. There's two modes of Ableton: session view and arrangement view. You drop a video, lyric video that they get from you guys into Ableton Live, and you press play. You have a little floating window that you can drag to a projector, drag to an external monitor, and you press play. And like we talked about, again, that freedom to repeat. If I repeat a chorus, it's going to jump back to the chorus. Now, depending on how the video is made, it may not be the best transition, but it's definitely better than the video rolling and not matching, you know? And so that's a really, really practical solution. And particularly, you know, I think most of us watching this, most of us engaging in the podcast are probably worship leaders at churches or creative ministers at churches, pastors. But if you are a worship leader that travels and you go to different camps, you go to different locations, you can walk in with a laptop, with Ableton Live, with your tracks, with your lyrics in ProPresenter, your lyric videos from Ableton, your lighting cues, all those sorts of things tied in and ready to go.
Right.
Which is great. And I've even seen some people that automate their soundboard or send tempo to their soundboard, so when they bring the delay up, it's perfectly in time. Again, it's back to that freedom thing. You know, as a sound engineer that's mixing a camp that doesn't know the artist really well, instead of them trying to tap the tempo of the delay to time it, it's just sent and they just bring it up and they're ready to go.
Good. All right, last topic for you. You did another workshop on more advanced features of Ableton. Maybe we've talked about some of those, but give me some more, dive deep a little bit.
Yeah, so one of the big focus of the class, you know, we've talked about the creating a connected stage and this idea of Ableton controlling different elements, and I'm doing a breakout today where we're diving in a little more into that. That's a big piece where I see people maybe start with tracks, and this is where they want to go with it. This is kind of the next level, the next step. But a big thing we talked about in the class yesterday, and I even did kind of an informal survey and had everyone raise their hands, is, and I tried to do it in a way to not make anyone feel sensitive about raising their hand, but typically what happens is people start using tracks. They get really bought into the idea. They're ready to go. They reach a point where they're frustrated because they aren't having the freedom and flexibility they want. Then they find a way to do that, and then they reach the next point where they're frustrated because they're spending hours and hours and hours to get things to that point.
Prepped.
That's right, get things prepped. And you get to a point where I say you basically take two paths. You either go, it's not worth it, or it's worth it, and it's just the cost of doing this. And what I told them is there's a third way, not to go Buddhist on everybody, but there's a third way to to make this happen. And so what I taught in the class is you know, my best Donald Miller impersonation is what I call the three-part framework for using tracks. And so it's this idea of creating or using a template, and then taking that template to format all your songs exactly the same way, whether you purchased them from Multitracks, Loop Community, Praise Charts, you made them, it's an original song your church did, and then take that template and build a song set using those formatted songs. And if you can do that, one, you take 5 to 10 minutes to format each one of your songs, but you do that one time. And that can include Pro Presenter cues, that can include lighting cues, that can include video files that you're dragging in, but you do it one time and it's done. And then you go to build your set, and it takes 5 to 10 minutes to build your set, no matter how much automation you have, no matter how many tracks this song has versus this song. And so it's kind of one of those things where, and I think this is why training, particularly for worship leaders and production folks, is so important, because I tell people, you can do it inefficiently, then essentially end up with the same result, yeah. Or you can do it efficiently and have more time with your family, get your Saturday back. And I think any of us watching this, listening to this, that have a family, have kids, would much rather spend 2 hours with their kids than 2 hours in, you know, head down in Ableton trying to get stuff to work.
Right. Is it a place where you can have somebody with you? Train up other people,
yeah,
to help you with the prep work,
yeah,
and then that get really efficient. Walk me through,
yeah,
that, where you have even more time with your family.
Yeah, so let's talk about it from two perspectives. One, let's say I'm a worship leader. I'm the only worship person on staff. I'm the only music person on staff, and I have volunteers. In that scenario, I think what's super powerful is we end up with, if we follow the three-part framework, a predefined process. We have a predefined end goal of where we want things to be. So it's really easy to sit down with a volunteer. And I always tell people, find someone that maybe in their job they're an IT person. Maybe they're an accountant. They're behind a computer all day, but they're comfortable with clicking things. You know, if they have that hesitation of, they're unsure, should I click this and what's this going to do? They're maybe not the best person. But if they're like, I'm just going for it.
Oops.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, well.
That's right. If they're the oops person, probably not, you know, maybe stay away from them. But, you know, go to Starbucks, grab your volunteer, and say, if you dedicated 1 hour with that one person and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the song we purchased from Multitracks, we're going to open it up, and we're going to do these things, drag from the template, hit save. And they'll go, wow, that's really easy. And that's what happened in the class yesterday, is I showed everyone, again, it doesn't have to be a crazy process. And so you start formatting those songs. Then you show them, now watch how easy it is to build the set. And so what you can end up with very quickly is a system and a process where you can invite volunteers into the process of formatting songs, even building sets, mm-hmm. even getting to the point where, and I think this is great, I see this in my role at my church as broadcast director, of training up people so that they then do the work, and I sit around on Sunday and I'm just there as an encourager, you know, kind of championing them on. And I think the second piece of this, the second perspective to look at it from, is from a multi-site church. And that's a fun thing for me to talk about, because there's an opportunity for each worship leader to kind of come together and at their individual congregation and campus and say, listen, we're all going to work together to format all our songs this same way. And I have a process I teach where you can add your song file to Planning Center, and anyone can grab that as long as it's licensed and they're okay to use it. And you can download it and build their own set. And so, you know, again, this isn't a podcast about church organization and multi-site structure, but you could have a scenario where you have a single person in a central ministry on staff building that for each campus.
Right.
I think that's a hard role to find. It's a hard role to stay motivated in, at least what I've personally seen. But what I've seen and what I encourage and teach multi-site churches to do in particular is empower each one of your worship leaders at your campuses, each one of your music directors at your campuses, to kind of all come together,
right,
provide the same resources, which is possible if you're all working from that same template. And then you have this pool of songs that in 2 weeks worth of time, I mean, you have almost all your songs formatted and ready to go. And then again, it's 5 to 10 minutes every week to build your set, and you're ready to go.
All right, bonus question for you.
Yeah.
I'm in a small 100-member church.
Mm-hmm.
So give me some just basic things that I can start implementing at a very small church with my team?
Yeah, I think one of the really simple things to start with is, and this may sound like what's the point, what's the purpose? Let's say you're a worship leader, just an acoustic guitar, and you're going, you know, I don't need a click because we want to be free, right? And go where the Spirit leads us. And apparently the Spirit only leads us at different tempos than what the song's recorded to. But I think what's super beneficial and super helpful is let's get people on a click. And I could go hours and hours on this, but what I mentioned in the class yesterday, there was a guy, I believe his name was Drew, that was, you know, mentioning pushback to a click. Transitioning to a click has to start with why. And Simon Sinek will be super happy, but we've got to cast vision and say, getting to a click is going to allow us to automate our production stuff. Because a lot of times people think, okay, I'm a big church doing big production. We're automating Pro Presenter. I'm a small church with an acoustic guitar. I can't do that. But all you need is a click track. No tracks. We don't have to go purchase the original song, original track from the artist. We just need a click track. And so what I always say is, let's cast that vision. By us getting to a click, we're going to be able to automate our lyrics. By us getting to a click, we're going to have a consistent sound. It's going to free us a little bit. We can add drone pads in. So one of the things I offer on the site, and there's lots of different ways to do this, but I have something for Ableton called the Pad Player that's expressive. It lets you open and close the filter. If worship leaders watching this know what that means, but it allows you to respond dynamically in the moment as opposed to just this droning thing that doesn't change. But you could add a pad in there if you wanted. But the benefit of if you're playing to a click again is it's going to free you up as a worship leader, so you can start one song and feel confident that we can do this song at 98 BPM and then jump to 60 or whatever you're going to. But when you get people to click, you say, we're going to make this transition to click. We're not, I joke, you're at a conference Thursday, you learn it, you don't go back and implement it Sunday. You say, hey, in 3 months, we're going to start playing to a click. We're going to do it for our closing song, which, spoiler alert, no one cares about anyway. They're all rushing out the door to get the Golden Corral. But we're going to do our closing song to click. And then after that, a week later, we're going to do the song, you know, before the pastor comes up to click. And you slowly work your way towards that. In between that moment to there, you're going to provide them resources. You're going to say, here's a click track for this song. Let's practice, you know, practice at home. Let's practice in rehearsal, every other rehearsal. And so spend some time getting there. But here's the cool thing. Again, solo worship leader, just acoustic guitar. If I can get click going, if I've got in-ears and have a basic in-ear setup with, I tell people, if you have an X32, M32 Studio Live, you've got in-ears. You just need a cable to get to you and, you know, a nice pair of Auclair universal in-ears or whatever monitors you use. That's all you need. You can mix from your phone, you can do all that. But by you having that click, and you could create this in Ableton, you don't have to buy it from anybody. You create the song structure of that click, maybe add some guide cues, which as a worship leader is such a nice reassuring thing. To get in the middle of it, you get lost in the moment, forget where you're going, and you hear the nice lady say bridge, and you go, oh, okay, we're gonna do another bridge, right?
Chorus,
that's right, yes, and it should be British because that's the right. Most godly accent.
That's right.
And so you have that in your ear, but then again, you can also throw the pad thing in. You can easily throw a shaker in, throw a tambourine to take it to another level, and you have that structure, and then from there, that structure can build. And yes, maybe eventually you use tracks, but again, that even to automate Pro Presenter, even to make it to where you as a worship leader finish and your pastor is going to come up to a transitional video that's introducing the sermon series. If you don't have a volunteer, you're meeting in a school, you know, cafeteria, you get to the end of your set, you click next on your MIDI foot controller, and it sends a command to Pro Presenter to play the video and to dim the lights. I just finished up a coaching, 8-week coaching cohort with a student on From Studio to Stage, and his church, it's a bigger church, but for lighting cues, they basically have 8 different colors and lights on and lights off. And so at first he thought, well, I don't need to do the lighting thing. And I said, well, no, lighting is as simple as reducing the complexity and the convolution of having lots of different people doing lots of different things and just going, we're at the end of the worship set, we press space bar to set the stage for the pastor. If you wanted to, you could press space bar to bring it back to the pastor's look for the message, or have someone else do that. And so it's just super, super simple. Get on that click track, with your in-ears, and then the all things in the world are possible if you can get on a click track.
Well, man, you do such a great job in this space, just training people in this stuff, just fantastic ideas. How can people find you, keep up with you, and take some of your training?
Yeah, so best way to find me is from studiotostage.com. And that's the site, and you can see free resources, tutorials, downloads that we have there. We've got a lot of free content and free tutorials, free blog posts that walk people through stuff. And then,
yeah, tell me about your subscription.
Yeah, and then if people want to go further and dive in, so we have a subscription that gives you access to now it's over 40 courses. And it's courses on, we have three courses that walk you through how to use Ableton really efficiently for tracks. And then we have courses on using Ableton to control ProPresenter, to control lights, to control basically anything you can think of. And even teach you the foundational stuff that will literally let you connect and control anything with Ableton Live. And we have content on setting up your audio interface, MIDI controller with Ableton. And so each of those courses is really structured to take you from whether you're a beginner. And what's really cool that I love about the site is we have people that are absolute beginners in the church world and non-church world, and then we have people that are literally traveling the world with, you know, major artists doing playback in the same community and interacting. We have people that are worship leaders, people that are not worship leaders, and they're kind of speaking into each other's process. And so we have the courses, we have a community that's kind of a private community where we can all interact and encourage each other, spur each other on, which is really fun. And then on top of that, we do a monthly call every month where we get together and I just answer questions people have from the community, which is fun. And then in addition to that, we started, I guess about a year ago, offering downloads. And so templates, patches, presets. I talked about that template. You can download my exact template that I use and format your tracks with that, which is cool. Patches, presets, and all of those are available to subscribers as a part of their subscription, which is yeah, really fun.
Awesome. Well, you do a great job, man.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you so much.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Hey guys, I'm really excited about next week's episode of the show. I told you that this week's episode was brought to you by my friends at ChurchVoiceOver.com. Well, the head of that team, my friend Joe Szymanski, will be joining me on the show next week. Joe is a voiceover artist. He's worked for some amazing ministry and corporate clients like Gateway Church, Life Church, New Spring Church, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and others. Him and his team have voiced dozens of our video projects for churches and ministries, and I'll talk to Joe next week about the ins and outs of voicing video content. All right, so that'll be next week on the show. Our podcast URL is MakingSundayHappen.com for show notes, archives, and resources. Give us a like if you would and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It would really help us get this content out to more and more people. We are growing, so if you're new to the podcast, welcome. Thanks for hanging out. Feel free to catch up on the podcast. It's going to take you a while. We have over 315 episodes of the podcast there on our website, so it's going to take you quite a bit to catch up, but feel free to jump into that website, MakingSundayHappen.com, and our podcast is categorized, so you can hit categories and jump to episodes that you might be more interested in, like worship or church media production, service planning, volunteer culture, things like that. Leadership is another category as well, so go to MakingSundayHappen.com and just use that category drop down to sort and find an episode that interests you. All right. You can also join our active community of church leaders, staff, and volunteers on our Facebook page or Facebook group at Making Sunday. Making Sunday Happen is the name of the group. So just go to Facebook and search Making Sunday Happen, and you'll find the group and ask to join. And we'd be glad to let you in and also have you join the community and join the conversation. All right. Facebook and then search for Making Sunday Happen, Making Sunday Happen Facebook group. We'll go out there and create some amazing worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.